What is up, everyone? It is your favorite Podfather Clem, and this week it's just Chaps and I in the podcast, so we're coming in hot. So we have our buddies at Fuego Box sponsoring the Podfathers this week. Father's Day is coming up, and you don't want to get stuck with a crappy Father's Day gift. You can ask your wife, your family, whatever it may be, for your Father's Day gift this year. Don't get stuck with a tie or some nonsense. We've talked about it in the past. The people at Fuego Box, they go around the world, try the best hot sauces on the planet, figure out which ones are the best, so then they can send you your own in a package. They take the sauces you use, like Tabasco, Sriracha, Frank's, anything else, to a whole new level. Instead of just adding pure heat to your food, the sauces they send add flavor and stuff. I'm a hot sauce novice, I'd say, but they sent us a few boxes of this, and you know what? I have to say, I'm becoming a little bit more of an expert. I enjoy my hot sauce now. It's not just pure bland heat going into my mouth like a goddamn hot atomic warhead. It's actually like good flavor that brings out the best in the food. Fuego Box sends you hot sauces every month or quarter, or you could just handpick from their store. You know, if someone says, hey, check out this sauce, you go and you pick it up. Fuego Box is something for everybody who enjoys tasty food, so check it out. Stoolies get a $10 discount. Just go to FuegoBox.com and use code PODFATHERS for $10 off your first box, which equates to a free bottle of hot sauce. Again, that's the code PODFATHERS for $10 off your first box at FuegoBox.com. We love you guys. Let's go!
Well, welcome back to another edition of the Podfathers. Kevin Clancy is out being a lazy boy, doing a million other things, but except for Podfathers. Clem is up in New York. I am in Texas, so the Podfathers are stretched out thin. Summer's getting started. We just finished up Memorial Day, but Clem is still looking sexy. How are you doing, my friend Clem?
I was doing good when I got onto this call with my handsome counterpart. And then I got great because I got a little private time with the star of the show, McCartney Chaps. And
McCartney Rose showed up.
They say never meet your heroes. Let me tell you, folks, that's a bunch of hogwash, malarkey, the whole nine. She's a goddamn superstar. There's been a lot of talk about getting the wives on the show. We're going to have to do a kids show as well once everyone can speak and has their P's and Q's about them. Yeah, because I think it would be electric.
I tell the family, I'm like, hey, guys, I'm about to start my podcast. And McCartney's like, hold on, I'm pooping from the downstairs bathroom. I go and check. She sure enough is. She is just living life as McCartney, man. It's the only way she knows how to do it.
Let me tell you a thing I learned this week about poop. That's always a good way to start a conversation.
Let's just fucking get it. This is the whiskey edition, by the way. It's Saturday. We've had a long week. It was a long week in the office. So Clem was on his way back from working with his family at the family store. And I was like, you know what? Let's just pour us a couple fingers of whiskey and let's just be real. Let's just be dads for a minute that are stepping away from our families for just an hour and enjoy a little fingers of whiskey.
Weekend whiskey edition of the Podfathers. It can't be. This might become our new thing right here. Fancy. I'm with the fancy boy. Why wouldn't we go the whole nine yards?
And
the thing is, I am not quite a fancy boy when it comes to alcohol. Usually whatever's in my house, we drink. And then when we know we're going to be drinking, we then buy stuff that day. So I am coming in with White Horse Scotch whiskey. The only reason I have this whiskey here is because there was one Halloween party where we just bought the most vile stuff they had, and it was kind of like the penalty shot. This was when we were in our like early 20s.
Yep.
And nobody that night even went near the goddamn stuff. The next day was a Giants game. We brought it to the parking lot, drank it all morning because we're idiots. It was awful. And then the Giants won, and now every Giants tailgate is now White Horse. And everyone buys me White Horse. It's a thing. White Horse Scotch whiskey. If you've ever been to a Giants tailgate with me.
But do you actually like it now?
It reminds me of good times, right?
Yeah, so I feel like that bad whiskey, if you drink it so much, bad booze in general is kind of like your mom's spaghetti. It really doesn't matter like how bad it is. If you eat it enough, eventually you think this is what spaghetti or whiskey is supposed to taste like.
It's actually good, right?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I'm drinking Wyoming whiskey. It's a small batch. Wyoming's not known for their whiskey prowess, but it's actually pretty good. Like I just cracked it open. I've gotten a lot of bottles sent to me. I was telling Clem before we started that doing the Fancy Boy video series, if you haven't done that, check it out on barstoolsports.com. The Fancy Boy video series is probably the smartest thing I've ever done.
The Boondoggle boys ain't got shit on the kid Uncle Chaps.
Yeah, man. Like, I got a message a couple days ago and was like, hey, man, how do I grow my whiskey collection? I was like, one of two things. You can either start a semi-successful video series, or you could just go out and buy a whole lot of stuff. Like, I don't know how else you do it. Like, those are really their only two options. How do I get a lot of whiskey? You fucking buy it. Like, I mean... That's it.
I got nothing else for you, Par. I mean, I'm sure you could join some, like, Whiskey of the Month club that's going to be, like, three times the price of any, like, reasonable whiskey. And that's just not the way to go. You have to – from the ground up. That's what you just say to them, from the ground up. That doesn't make any sense.
It really is. And everybody – you got to start with cheap stuff like Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, and then work your way up. You don't start off drinking wine by drinking fucking Dom Perignon champagne. You don't do that. Like, you start off with Barefoot and stuff like that. Whiskey is the same way. Maybe you're still in your 30s and you still go with the White Horse. Is
that... White Horse.
Yeah, maybe you still do that.
So back to poop.
All right, here we go.
White Horse. So we were driving home the other day. I was driving home with my wife and the kid, and it was just a long ride home. And we were singing "You Got a Friend in Me," and for some reason, I just started getting weird. And I said, "You got a friend in me." And I was like, "When the road looks rough ahead, and you're miles and miles from your nice warm," and I said, "Poopy!" Ah! And the kid cracked up. She's never laughed so hard her entire life.
The first time she had an ad lib in her life.
Yeah, first time she had an ad lib, and it was ad lib into poop.
Yeah.
And then, being like the good dad I am, I then went with pee pee, and then I went with fart, and then I did the fart noise. You're miles and miles from your nice warm. Hysteric, standing applause the whole nine. Now, every time she hears that song, she goes, "Say poopy, daddy, say pee pee." And I learned that day, we are born with the love of poop and pee jokes and
really
fart jokes.
You really are, dude. You really are.
She's all she says now. Whenever "Daddy, say poo poo, say pee pee," and like, I don't think they say that. They might say it in daycare. It might be where like the rough kids in the block are saying poo poo and pee pee under their breath. But it was an eye opener for me that I'm not like a big poop joke guy in general. I like them. I think they're funny if done right. But I don't just laugh at any poop joke. From the womb, poop jokes are funny. That's what I learned.
Yeah, like I mean Eddie Murphy said it best, and I think it was his Raw show where he says that. Everybody loves pooch. It's the fart game, son. It's the fart game. Like, and it really is. Like, no matter what, adults, kids, whoever. I just feel like when you're an adult, because let's be honest, my blogs, I write some poop jokes on there. So I'm still obviously a fan of the poop joke, but it's got to be a more elevated. You can't just go like, I can't just write a lyric of a song and write fart noise and get a laugh on the crowd. I mean, I need to come out, hang out with Sienna. That's what really needs what needs to happen.
I mean, I guess the kids, I mean, they're Barstool readers in the future, whether we like it or not. So, I mean, that is our audience down the road at some point, you know.
And
what
our
I mean?
Kids are definitely going to have that slapstick type of humor.
Yeah, for sure.
McCartney is that way 100%. She loves it.
And now that I think about it, I did the old like Family Guy and I just wrote the word diarrhea in my blog because I was like, that's a funny word. And I spelled it right and I was really proud of myself. And
it's a tough word to spell, man. Like, shout out to New Hampshire. It's their most misspelled word. But I feel like if that's your most misspelled word, you're doing pretty well. Because everybody's making fun of New Hampshire's diarrhea, what's going on in New Hampshire. One state down, I think Vermont, right? It was liar. Like, liars there were. I would much rather my state struggle spelling diarrhea. One, that kind of means you're not having it that often if you're misspelling it.
Yep.
Two, you're not misspelling liar, which is more embarrassing.
Chaps, I feel like you could like give like the country definition and like every definition of diarrhea and like the country of origin and all that shit because you have a very close relationship with
the
diarrhea.
Spelling bee of it. Can you use it in a sentence? What is the language of origin?
I've had diarrhea since Easter of 2007, motherfucker. What, bitch?
Man, if they use that at the spelling bee, I think I would just have to retire from the internet. I think that would be it. That would be it for me.
Wisconsin was the most misspelled name word in Wisconsin. That's
if you feel like if it's going to be any state, it would be Massachusetts.
I write MA.
I don't know how to spell it right now. You ask me, hand to God, I'm getting shot in the face.
95% of our readers on our site are probably from fucking Massachusetts, and I couldn't tell you where any of them
are. It's tough, dude. That Chuettes, that's a tough little combo at the end.
Tough motherfucker.
And
it's
I
a
hope
bitch.
That I just said it fast enough where nobody spell checks it, because I probably fucked it up right there.
Chaps has had his reading has been slandered enough on this year's site.
I don't need reading and spelling. I don't need it. I don't want it. Don't need it. So we had last weekend, we had big time weekend of Memorial Day weekend, which is the kickoff of the summer. Texas is a little bit faster than you New York boys with letting our kids out of school. My kids' last day of school was on Thursday. So it got us thinking about what some of our all-time things that we were looking forward to doing when summer kicked off. Let's just go back and forth. You do one, Clem. I'll do one. You do one. I'll do one.
All right. And let me just say this, too. We were trying to plan out when we were going to record this, and you're like, oh, my kids just finished school. Like, at that point, it's Friday, like yesterday. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you have the full court press now. You know what I
mean? I do, because I'm a stay-at-home dad, stay-at-home blogger. Like, I work from my house. I mean, a majority of the month, unless I'm in New York, I work from home. So my kids being here is like basically every day is going to be like bring your kids to work day.
And even in the house, like it's not easy. Trust me. I did that by myself for like 6 months and I was counting down the seconds until I could just get her ass in daycare. So shout out to the kid chaps here.
Luckily for me, the terrorist is still going to daycare and it's going to be it's going to be the older one that like has a cell phone, has an iPad, can actually read to herself that's going to be home with me. So that makes it a lot better. And she's getting golf clubs for her birthday, and they're coming soon. So we're going to take some early day little golf course action. So we're going to have some daddy baby time golfing, which is going to be fucking sick.
You boondoggle that man into something. You can get, you know, like Top Flight sponsor you guys or some shit. And the Boondoggle Boys won't even have an answer for that one
those
anymore.
Those fucking foreplay guys with their podcast, I can do like Podfather's Golfing Edition.
We're coming for that ass.
I'm trying to get Foreplay to send me some of their sponsors, like that ship stick stuff. Be like, dude, I'm going to Disney. Ship my sticks over there. I'll go play while I'm at Disney World. Take a couple hours out. Babe, it's for work. What do you mean?
We love our sponsors here on Podfather. We love them all, and we'd love more. So if you guys want to hit us up, you know, just let us know. So my first thing, the first thing that jumps in my mind, shouldn't be a surprise to people, summertime. The ice cream man. Once the sounds of the ice cream man, like some people say Memorial Day is the start of summer. Some people say June 21st is the start of summer. I say the first time you hear those glorious chimes go off in the ice cream man. Our guy seems like It's a Small World is kind of his only song he really uses.
I feel sometimes, like that's the go-to.
Yeah, that's kind of that's woven into our fabric as an American culture.
And they do that because of the Pavlovian response.
Yes.
They want to create a Pavlovian response.
Yep, and plus, like, It's a Small World that covers all countries. You can't say it's American if you're playing, like, the Star Spangled Banner, shit like that. This day and age, you probably people get pissed off about that. and then, like, Mr. Softy has, like, the. Have you ever had a Mr. Softy? He has, like, a unique ring. He goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So, like, that's another one you hear.
I need more than four bars. Let's hit it.
It's the Weekend Whiskey Edition. We can sing it out, baby.
Yeah, man, let's fucking do it.
So, and the only problem with this is a shocker. Last summer, we learned Sienna's scared of the ice cream man. She's scared of his sounds. She does not like the music. She freaks out. It might just be a one-time thing, but she's scared of certain things that she's been scared of since like birth, and that hasn't changed. And I imagine the ice cream man's gonna be. It used to be a thing of happiness for me. It's going to be a thing of terror for her. And, like, it questions if I'm actually her dad, the fact she's so scared of it.
Why be remiss when we're talking about ice cream cones? Why don't you give the people your top five?
Top five ice cream.
From the truck. Got to be from the truck.
Okay. So I had this. I wrote this on Barstool. Let's see. Ice cream treats from the truck. All right. I have number one. All right. I shouldn't start at one because we got to build up the suspense.
Yeah, suspense.
For anyone who read the blog, you guys know what it was. But number five, I believe, was frozen Snickers.
Okay.
Because that was a game changer. I still remember the first time.
Delicious, man.
Yep. It was, you know, you're used to just having frozen Snickers bars. Like, wait, there's ice cream in this shit now?
God, so good. And the chocolate's so thin and crispy.
Yeah, so thin and crispy. Four, I go with the oldie but goodie, the ice cream sandwich. It's just.
That's kind of a poor person move.
It's a definite poor person move. However, I like to say the oldie but goodie. Other people say – some would say poor person move, though. but I think if you have a bad ice cream sandwich, it's poor person move. If you have a good ice cream sandwich with a name brand, it's legit and fair enough.
Yeah, I feel like three, that's what poor people say.
Exactly. that's the way Kevin talks about Wise potato chips. He's like, that's been there since, like, you know, the 1800s. Like, yeah, because we were in the fucking Great Depression in the 20s. Yeah. Everyone had fucking Wise chips.
Yeah, it's wise to save money when you're poor.
Three is the chipwich, which I think you have to respect.
The what?
The chipwich. You know, you've never heard of the chipwich?
Never heard of it, no.
Jesus, you must. It's like locusts and cicadas down there. You guys probably call them. So it's the chocolate chip cookies, and then the middle has ice cream with chocolate chips in it.
Oh, like the cookie sandwich.
Yeah, like a cookie sandwich, exactly.
Okay. And what do you call it?
Well, the brand is Chipwich, and that's what, at least what we had up here. Which we use
Toll House down here.
Yeah, they have Toll House, which was like basically
those are
you know
good. Those are fucking good.
They're fucking good. Yeah, I kind of consider that the evolutionary ice cream sandwich. I said in the blog, it's like from the Avon Barksdale to Marlowe, the game ain't changed. It just got more fierce. And that's kind of like Chipwich is some fucking fastball down the middle. Two, Choco Taco, which you got to have down there.
I respect it. Yep. I love it.
And number one, and this is what I said, Choco Taco is the 2012 Mike Trout. And number one on the list is a little guy called the WWF Ice Cream Bar, RIPIP. RIP in peace. You remember those, right?
That's my number one, too. Like, I was going to go back and give it to the one that looks like Hulk Hogan. It's like the vanilla cookie on the outside, right?
Yep, and then it's like the ice cream, then like the chocolate on the back. And like they had fucking, like, this is back in the 90s or whatever. Those images were like painted with a laser beam. It was incredible how they were so crystal clear. They, I think, are gone off the face of the earth. One time I was in Chicago and I was arguing with the ice cream man why he didn't have, I was like wasted. And like, I was arguing with the ice cream man why he didn't have a WWF ice cream pop for like 10 minutes straight. And then I'm like, you asshole, like you probably haven't had one of these since you were like 12 years old. So I felt kind of bad about that, but that's my number one. I know you're a WCW guy, but even you have to respect the WWF ice cream bar.
I do, because there was at one point, I don't know if you remember this young man, this is going to really date us, so a lot of our younger listeners aren't going to know. But my favorite one that I ever got, I got a limited edition Ravishing Rick Rude ice cream.
Oh,
Rick Rude was sexy as fuck, dude. Like, sexy, I don't care, guy, fuck, girl, whoever, everybody wanted to do Rick Rude.
And he got sexy with his pants and stuff, and he was the original cuck. Yeah, he was the original cuck.
He would get you, man. So I'll do honorable mention for the ones that you didn't, because you mentioned a lot of my favorites too, like the WCW one or the wrestling one was great. I'm a huge Choco Taco guy. If I get an ice cream bar from the gas station, it's going to be a Snickers ice cream bar 10 mm-hmm. times out of 10.
And they got the big boys now, too.
I'll give you some that I really like. Even though I kind of shit on the ice cream sandwich for being poor, my first honorable mention is going to be the strawberry eclair. That's a good... I feel like that's poor
ass shit.
That's the poor people ice cream, too. I love the strawberry eclair. I love the American pop with the red, white, and blue popsicle.
Now that's poorer than anything. That's just generic ice cream.
My childhood was poor. These are the only things I know. Like, I say that as a defense mechanism so people think that I grew up with a silver spoon. My spoon was made out of fucking granite. So
yeah, exactly. KFC does the same shit. I'm like, KFC, your dad grew up in the backwoods of Pennsylvania with a pet monkey. Like, get the fuck out of my face. You weren't some fucking rich snob.
I'm not going to shit on a monkey. That'd be awesome, man. I'd love to have a monkey. Yeah. And I also love the gumball. The gumball at the bottom.
So that's called the screwball.
Screwball, yeah.
In my initial blog, I had never had a screwball before. And everyone's like, you have
to. That was one of the first videos of you that I watch where you did like the taste test of it.
Yep, and the gum was not very good. Now, granted, you never know how
gum is shit.
Gum is so bad.
It tastes like chalk. Like, you should be like, oh, is this a gum bar or should I go draw my fucking name in it in the driveway?
You know Razzles? You know, like the candy Razzles? Mm-mm. Like, it's like there, it's like powder, but then it turns into gum, but you're not sure if it's really a gum until like 10 minutes after chewing it. Mm-hmm. That's what I was like, is this even gum right now that I'm chewing? I was so thrown off by it.
Like bubble cigarettes.
Exactly, like candy cigarettes. You ever have Bubble Play? That was another one that had gum on it. It was a baseball glove, and there was a little ball in the middle of it of gum.
Okay.
And that was the
Yes, I remember that. And that one's good, too. Any of them that are that same consistency were pretty good. That's a good consistency. Although it is a fast melter. Down here in Texas or in Florida, where I grew up, it's a fast melter. So you got to be careful. You got to down it, and it's going to be all over you. All right, so let's move on. That's ice cream talk. That was talking ice cream.
Like we talk about all the time, as a parent, you always want to give your kids the best. best school, you know, nice yard to run in, whatever it may be, and you got to have them looking fresh. And the best way to do that is by going to barstoolsports.com/podfathers to look at all our kids' clothes. We got Saturdays are for the boys' onesies. Monday through Fridays are for the girls. Congrats on the sex, the whole nine. We got June birthdays coming up. Random, like, religious days, like baptisms and stuff like that. So what better way to make your kid or someone else's kid look good than by going to barstoolsports.com/podfathers, checking out the store. We got, like I said, we have some good clothes. There's only so much, like, sports outfits, like, of your favorite teams that you can wear or anything like that. No one wants to get the lame, boring, plain white onesie or plain white t-shirt. Get them something fun. Check it out. barstoolsports.com/podfathers. Make your kid or someone else's kid look good and start them on the right path to being one of the cool kids in school. They'll thank you when they get older. I wish someone could have done that for me back in the day, but the internet didn't exist, let alone Barstool Sports. Again, that's barstoolsports.com/podfathers. Bow,
bump, bump. Now, my favorite thing to do, summertime, I grew up, and you're only a year younger than me, right? How old are you?
I think I'm actually I'm a couple months older than you. I just turned 35.
Oh, you are older than me. Fuck. All right, so I turned 35 in July. So you're going to understand this then. We grew up in the height, the extreme height. Like, if you were talking mountains, we are the Mount Everest generation of super soakers. I loved a good old-fashioned super soaker fight, man. Like, that's all I wanted. Birthday was coming around. One birthday, I got the 2-liter. It was 2 2-liters that you could strap on your back like a backpack, fill it up with water, and go to town like it was a blowtorch in Iwo Jima. Like, you could fuck up the whole neighborhood with it. I loved a super soaker fight.
You got the marine itch thanks to the super soaker. I think it's pretty safe to say.
I don't got that because I would try to take somebody's eye out. Like, I know you weren't supposed to. It was my goal. I felt like if I could take somebody's eye out with a super soaker, they should move me from 4th to 6th grade. Just fucking skip 5th. Just forget about 5th. Just go to middle school because you're just a badass.
Yep. That's just like auto pass, and they just circle like super soaker badass. Like, he gets to go to the next grade. Our boy Millmore, the most talented man at Barstool Sports, the other day he was doing some Photoshop thing, and I saw the Super Soaker 50, and I go, oh, that's a Super Soaker. Like, that's something you just respect. That
the
was
Super
the
Soaker
only
50 was better than some of the higher numbers, too, because it only took, like, 2 pumps to be going.
Yeah, and it had a stream, too. And the thing about the Super Soaker 50 is I remember that was, like, the fidget spinners now or the Tamagotchis. Like, Toys R Us couldn't stock them. And it was like a complete game changer, and all they did was like pressurized water guns. I will say this. I didn't like – once they got to the backpack, I thought the backpack was too much.
It was a little much, but it felt good to be the one with a little bit much.
Exactly. And then you always inevitably had the kid who took over the hose with the little spout on the end of it and would just – I mean, then you're like a god. You're basically a star power Mario for the next – until everyone just leaves you alone.
The way that I looked at it is you're kind of like America. Right now, America has 6,972 nuclear weapons. Do you need that many nuclear weapons? Absolutely not. Do you need 4 liters of water strapped to your back for a water gun fight? Probably not when you're 11 because it's pretty heavy and you can't run very fast. But that doesn't matter. You have the nuclear weapons in your arsenal and everybody has to respect it. And I grew up, I don't know if I've said this before, I grew up tiny, dude. Like, for the tallest person in my family besides me, like, immediate family, my dad's 5'7", my mom's 5'2", my older sister's 4'10", and my younger sister's like 5'2". So, like, everybody in my family's tiny, and then I'm 6 foot. Shout out to the milkman, probably, just saying. But...
it's like they all have dark hair too, by the way.
Yeah, I felt like the big man on campus for the first time when I had the 4 liters of Super Soakers strapped to my back.
That doesn't give you popcorn muscles. I don't know what will. I mean, shit. Now, this is my question: Do your kids does Kelsey do Super Soakers yet?
Kelsey doesn't. You know what? Get down outside. She's not like I've wanted her to like her whole life, but it's not who she is. Like, her idea for fun for summer, as like a little caveat, this is what she wants to do, because she goes to her mom's house in like 2 weeks or something like that after we go to Disney World. Kelsey's idea of fun today when we were riding my truck and we'll do another little caveat off this because this was a fun day. So we go, and she's like, I said, what do you want to do next week? She's like, I have a great idea of what we can do for fun. I come downstairs in the morning, I eat my breakfast, and then you tell me any subject that you want, and I'll write you a 2-page like fiction story about that. And I'm like what? She's like, well, you can ask me like what my ideal dream home is, and I'll like describe it, which is a great thing to want to do, especially as having a dad who is a writer, like a creative writer, like that's what I do on Barstool. Like, it's cool to see that. I wasn't thinking about that when I was her age. I was thinking, let's go play catch. Let's go have a water balloon fight. Dad, hook up the sprinkler. I want to get in the sprinkler, like any of that kind of shit. She's not that. She doesn't want to go outside, and I think it's awesome. It's cool to see a kid who was raised by me and my wife have the desire to be something completely different.
Yep, yep. And that's the path less chosen. A lot of people just follow the other path just because that's what everyone's doing. It's and fun.
It doesn't make sense for families who constantly try to push their kids to be who you are. Like, if she wants to be a creative writer, like, explore that. I don't care if you're outside. Like, as long as you're not sitting there watching TV, I think that's the ultimate goal. Like, if she's sitting there in front of her computer, but she's typing and using her brain, I'm all about it.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. All right.
What's next for you? What's your next thing?
Next on my list, I mean, I guess I'm just going to stay in the food realm, no surprise. Just in general, corn on the cob season, it's my...
Fucking speaking about... Those are two things I didn't think about, but God damn it, I love some corn on the cob.
Look at this. You know, without the internet and Barstool Sports, we would have never known we're fucking long-lost brothers right here. It is my shit. It's like I'm the one who picks out the corn on the cob when we go to the grocery store. Back in the day, we have like a little like farm... It's like a little like small little farm booth, or I guess I don't know, like we could say it's on the side of the road. You just go there. The old lady used to always give me corn, love me. I go home, me and the old man. It's like, this is a good corn. We now got
it.
Like,
was
you know,
it shucked, or did you have to shuck it?
We shucked it when we got home.
Okay.
And that's kind of like carrying how many grocery bags you can at once. Like, I go one trip, 1,000 grocery bags in my arms. Same with the corn. I do maybe 2 husks. 1, 2, snap, done.
No.
I was about to challenge Trent to a corn husking contest, but
ooh,
I feel like I'm going to.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
I'm going
good.
Above my weight class there in terms
that's
of
good.
Husking ability.
Challenging somebody from Iowa to anything corn related competition is fucking good, man. I'd be all in on that.
Yeah. I feel like I could lose a friend, though. If, you know, if things go, if I beat
if,
him.
If Trent doesn't have corn, what does he have?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like if someone challenges me to like junk food off and then they eat better junk food than me, then I like lose my fucking my whole entire like Frank the Tank already took the Mets from me. I can't have him then take my junk food corner for he took Star Wars from me. I'm losing my fucking grips here. I may have to start taking Trent shit. It's just going to become chaos. And
well,
Barstool.
You should have seen the look on Trent's face whenever and those that are listening that don't follow like just Barstool. Trent is a dude who's from Iowa City or Cedar Rapids. And when I was in New York last time, he was like noticing my minor league baseball hats, and I was like, well, I have the Colonel, like the Iowa City minor league team. And the look on his face was like hurt because I don't think he knew like what to do, like that I had his minor league team and he didn't. So it was a pretty intense moment there for a minute, but we got through it.
It's kind of like him being like, oh, Chaps, you ever been to Iowa? It's like, oh, no, I slept in your childhood bed last night. Like, you didn't know that? He's like, wait, what? Like, you were in his kitchen right there with that
yeah,
hat.
Because you have, like, going back to corn on the cob. Now, listen to this. I know that we talk about how good Texas is. My grocery store called HEB has a station right by the, like, fully husked corn where you can peel it in the grocery store and throw away the husk at the grocery store.
Yeah. Yep. We have that. All our grocery stores have that, but I like to do it at
oh,
home.
Really?
I
hadn't seen that since I moved to Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Stu Leonard's, the Hannaford by me, Shop and Shop, they all have like a big garbage can where you can just throw it into if you want. But again, I think you got to go fresh at home. I like to throw it in the woods too, feed the animals, go the whole nine yards.
Now, you done with your corn? You done with corn talk?
The last part of corn talk for me, I'll say this much. I don't love the state of New Jersey. There's a lot of bad that comes out of New Jersey, some fair, some unfair. They have great beaches. They have great corn. Jersey sweet corn is one of my favorite kind of corns out there.
Jersey. Shout out to Jersey for being a good corn state.
Next time you're up here, we're going to get you some Jersey sweet corn, Chapsy.
Love it. I like summer corn because it's different. Usually whenever you're wintertime, you're going like canned corn and you're going to go with like corn off the cob. You're going to go just straight up shitty corn. But whenever you can throw it on the grill, just gives it a whole different dimension. Throw some salt and pepper, throw some butter on there, and you're really throw some chili powder, some chili lime powder if you're really getting fucking nuts Texas style. That's where you're really cooking with gas. My second favorite thing, summer, growing up, I used to live outside of Jacksonville, and there was a place called Strickland's Lake. And Strickland's Lake was like a sand bottom lake. It wasn't, because you gotta be fucking careful when you're swimming in a lake in Florida. I've talked a lot about lake swimming on the show. Mm-hmm. Florida, you gotta be careful, because they are dinosaurs that live in that bitch that will eat your ass up. Like, they straight up will. So whenever you're, Strickland Lakes doesn't have a lot of alligators, and you can see to the bottom. Well, they had these docks that you could walk down with like 10-foot platforms so you can jump off into. The water was still cool no matter how hot it was outside. It was just a great place to be. And as a young boy, jumping, doing flips and shit off of the platforms, like the little docks into the water from 10 feet high, was like my personal heaven. I love that place. It's a place where if I had unlimited money, because a lot of the houses on there are like really expensive, if I had unlimited money, I would buy the biggest house on Circling Lake and just stunt all over my elementary school haters.
Nothing but B-boy places everywhere.
Do you have any places like that growing up that you just like really cling to?
So, yeah, so that's funny. I think that's kind of like the White Horse in a way, where some places we go to the Jersey Shore, and like, look, it always was like magical in my mind.
Saturdays,
and it's
for
like
the shore.
Saturdays for the shore. And then it's like, it's almost like an Always Sunny when Dennis and Dee go back, and then there's like bums fucking under the boardwalk. Yeah. And it's just a goddamn just like cesspool. Like, it wasn't as nice as it maybe was in my mind some of the times, but like the Jersey Shore, I grew up, Lake Mayapack is the lake that I'm not a lake guy. So my dad's a pool man. So we were always a pool family. So I think you're either a pool guy, a lake guy, or an ocean guy. My rankings go pool, ocean, lake. Sounds like you're lake. And then, I don't know, pool,
I'm
ocean?
Lake, pool, ocean, yeah. Ocean's absolute last. Don't want sand and Magooch. Don't want that. But you're absolutely right about, like, when you come back to a place. When I went to Strickland's, or I'm sorry, when I went to Kingsley Lake, the place that you jumped off was called Strickland's. When I went to Kingsley Lake, then we moved to Maryland and we moved back. I went the last time I'd been there with like 6-year-old eyes. So yep. I remember thinking the place was fucking huge. Like, it looked like the ocean to me. When I came back like 5 years later and saw it again with like my young teenage eyes, I was like, huh, I thought that boardwalk was like a mile and a half long and it was really only like 200 feet long. So, which made it better because I didn't have to walk out forever. But when you're walking out there as a 5-year-old, it seems like the walk is goddamn ridiculous.
It's basically four parts of your life, like 5-year-old eyes, 11-year-old eyes, 18-year-old eyes, and then like 35-year-old eyes. Those are like going to Seaside, which is kind of like a little seedier place. Like, it's like when you're like 18 and all the girls who are just like walking the boardwalk wearing short shorts and tongue rings, you're like, oh my God, 35. You're like, cover yourself. I feel bad for your parents. Like, this poor thing right here, cover yourself up. So there's definitely, and as fathers, it's like, that's the good thing about being a dad too. Like, shit's pretty awesome. Everything's awesome to your kid right now. Especially like Kelsey's probably just starting to see things with her 12-year-old eyes, and she's like smart as shit. So she's like, Dad, this is a sad state of affairs for the American people. You know
she
what I mean?
If she starts to pay attention to politics, and she'll roll her eyes and she'll make a little comment that I think is like astute. And I know a lot of it is because, like, my wife and I talk about politics in front of her, and we, like, whenever the debates were going on politically, like, we let her have, like, a little notepad and take – if she had questions, and she would ask us questions and things like that. So it's part of her upbringing to ask questions. But it's cool to see her recognize things that are, like, outside of a normal 11-year-old, 12-year-old's thought process. Yeah, one more thing. Let's do one more thing each for summertime, and then we'll move
on. All right. So this is kind of a cheat – thing. All right. Huge Central Air fan. Big Central Air fan. Love using it. However,
can't not have ceiling, it here. I think it's against the law.
Yeah. So like, it's almost, it's like a need more than a want down in Texas. Yeah. Ceiling fans and outdoor showers are my shit. And I can only really do them once the summer hits. So ceiling fans, outdoor showers. Some people don't like outdoor showers. I think they are actually good.
I'm not a big shower guy. I think that's pretty much established. I'm more of a bath fan. I take baths probably like 330 days out of the year with no showers in between. Unless I get like crazy sweaty from yard work, which I don't do, or if I work out, which I really don't do anymore either, I'm going strictly baths because I don't feel like I'm that dirty. A lot of people say it's swimming in your own filth. I don't give a shit. I'm a Marine, and like I'm a pretty dirty dude anyway. So I prefer not to do the outside shower. I do, however, love my favorite prank videos on the internet are when people are taking the outside shower and people put shampoo continuously in their hair where it keeps like foaming up. Those are the best videos on the internet. So I'm a big fan of those.
Love it. What's your number three?
My last one, any type of water balloon fight. I love a water balloon fight, and I will go down the same water slide 300,000 times in a row and love every minute of it.
So water balloon fights I like, except I'm not very good at them. They never pop or they pop in my hand. I'm a bad water balloon fighter, but I do enjoy
it. I do kind of agree with you there. I like the anticipation of a water balloon fight. Water balloon fights never really live up to their reputation. And then it usually ends up just playing in the sprinkler, which I'm a big fan of, too.
It's poor people's shit for sure. Like when people come by that store and
slip and
like,
slides, poor people shit, but it's awesome.
Slip and slides was close to making my list. Crocodile Mile, dumb shit because you're breaking your balls. It was the dumbest flaw.
But
it
if
pisses
you didn't
me
have
off.
One, see, there's different tiers of poor people, too. Like whenever you have, if you have just the regular slip and slide that's a tarp, poor person. Crocodile Mile. You might have came into some money that year.
Yeah,
you
crocodile.
Got a little more back on your tax return than you expected.
Yep. It's like putting a spoiler on a car. It's not really doing anything for you, but it just makes you look like you got like the next deluxe version for sure. Water slides, I actually had a similar like older person eyes with it. Like when I would go as a kid, I'd love it. I went one time and I went in the kiddie section and everything tasted like sweat because it was just basically 90% piss. So that was kind of a bummer and I can never go to my favorite water park again.
Anytime you're dealing with 90% piss or more, it's kind of shitty.
For lack of a better word.
So my pal Eric's a big fan of the Podfather show. He was asking me, hey, can you guys explain to me your initial process, your thought process about baby-proofing the house? He's about to have a kid. What are your thoughts? About to have a kid, baby-proofing the house.
First of all, I didn't know this, that there was baby-proofing. You can hire people to baby-proof your house.
You can hire people for anything.
Yeah. It's wild. The thing is, you can baby-proof it as much as you can. That baby is going to find any flaw in your system no matter what you do, which is actually a good thing in the end as long as you're paying attention to them. But I like the magnet system. That's what we go with. We go with the magnet system, which just everything is magnets. Like to get this white horse, I had to use our little magnet system from Costco. In terms of baby-proofing, our shit's still baby-proofed. I don't know how old you can stop it. I'm not very good at things like this, obviously. My wife handles it all. What about you, Chapsy?
He's got time. Like, if he's just about to have the baby, like his girlfriend's just about to have the baby, there's plenty of time. The baby's not going to need baby-proofing for months. I mean, because really, until they're 4 or 5 months old, they're not moving anywhere. And they're not moving anywhere fast until they're at least a year old, so you got plenty of time. So if you're worried about it, like before the baby is like 9 months old, you really kind of are stressing yourself out over no reason. Like your biggest concern when they're just coming home from the hospital, do we have enough bottles? Are they latching on? Like that's your big concern. You can wait until they're 6 months old if you want to even start the process of baby proofing.
Yeah, and the best part about it is that it's almost like nature's way because, like, you have so much shit going on. It's like you have just chaos going on for those first 6 months. Like, once some of the shit where, like, maybe the sleep's getting better or you're just getting used to your life completely being over, once you get past that part of it, then you can start worrying about the next shit, which is, you know, baby-proofing. And once they're moving around, everything changes. You're putting gates up. You're worrying about stuff that they can reach and shit like that. And that's something that still continues to this day. Now, my daughter can now reach into our junk drawer, so now we can't keep the scissors there because she's doesn't really care about our convenience. You know,
and that's what exactly. And it's been so long since I was at the baby proofing stage that I had kind of forgotten about the concern that you go. But recently in our parenting life, we have reached some big, big milestones. And I wanted to tell you about one of the big milestones that people who don't have kids will not understand how big this is. I want you to take a deep, deep breath. There it is. There's a deep breath.
I want them to hear it.
McCartney can turn on lights by herself.
Oh, now how great was that first like realization? Like, was she just turning the lights on and off for like a full day?
Because that's let me set the table for people who don't have kids and don't understand. Because you think that when you get to the point where you're potty training your kid, that's it. When they're potty training, you're good to go. You've made it. You don't have to get up every time they need to go to the bathroom. They can wipe themselves. They can do all that stuff. You are not out of the woods until they can, one, turn on the light, two, wash their hands by themselves. Because if they can go to the bathroom by themselves, that's fine and good. You still got to walk your dumbass in there to help them wash their hands, turn on the light, get their toilet paper, get whatever they want to. McCartney is finally at the age where she can do all three of those things by herself, and it's a complete and utter game changer.
See, that's huge. We kind of had a bad thing happen to us that was like a good thing for Sienna. She learned how to pick. You know how you have that white thing on the door so they can't turn the doorknobs?
Yeah.
She still doesn't know to like use her fingers just to twist a doorknob. She just like picked it and broke it apart now leave her room whenever she wants. And it's like the raptors in Jurassic Park. It's like, oh shit, they've learned how to open doors. And that's problematic now. Cause if she wakes up in the middle of the night and we don't hear her, like she could just fucking go to escape Alcatraz basically, you know, she's on the loose at that point.
Yep. And McCartney has this look on her face where she is so dependent and wants to be dependent. She wants you to help her do a lot of things, which is surprising giving her normal personality, that she just wants you to know at every waking moment of the day what she's doing. Like she walks you through it. Like she's giving you direction about what she's doing in her life. And you just want to be like, McCartney, I don't give a fuck about what you're doing. She's like, I'm eating my second of my 5 crackers right now. Like, I don't care, kid. Just eat them all and just shut the fuck up. Daddy's trying to play his game.
Looking back, if I could stop one thing in life, it would be the minute I tried to be independent. Rely on your parents for as long as possible. That's what I say.
McCartney's doing that. She's taking Clem's advice. That's exactly what she's doing.
Long time listener, first time caller, McCartney Chaps.
But
you doing
now it? It's at the point where I know she can turn on the lights because I've seen it. I've witnessed it with my own eyes. She'd be like, Daddy, I need help with the lights. I'm like, no, you don't. You didn't shrink. That's not the way it works in little babydom. Like, you didn't fucking shrink. Just doing. She's like, I can't. My stool's in the way. Move the stool. So now it's like a constant process of giving her step-by-step direction. And she knows what she's doing, man. Like, she's so smart that she knows what she's doing. She knows she's driving me crazy. But that's just who she is.
That's who she is. She's McCartney. I mean, she's who she is. She's the reason. The way she is why we love her. So I wouldn't want anything to change about her personally.
I want now, granted, lots of things to change.
I was going to say, I don't have to deal with any of the other. It's like grandparents.
You just get the stories. You get the 10-minute story. You don't have to deal with it in the fucking car every time she's like, can I have my blueberries now? Like, they're in your fucking hands. Just eat them.
Our boy Chapsy came into like 140 pounds of deer meat today for disgustingly cheap price. Yeah. And he knows one of his humans in his house will not touch the shit.
Yeah. Because so this is one of the things I want to talk about. This was a good thing when I was riding around with my daughter. So one, I recently got a subwoofer put into my truck, which I debated a long time because I feel like that's a young person's game.
Very young person's game, but I respect it.
But I have a 2004 F-250 diesel. So like the 2004 stereos are shit like compared to what's out now. So I upgraded everything and it sounds great. So my daughter and I were listening to, you might be familiar with the show, Wicked on Broadway. We were listening to the soundtrack of Wicked and just singing at the top of our lungs. We go into the feed store first so she can play with some bunnies, play with some rabbits, play with some chickens and some young turkeys because she just likes animals and stuff. So we stop there to get – that's where we get our dog food, is from like a feed store for like cattle and shit. Like that's where we get it all, mainly because Gus eats a lot. But we went to this butcher shop that's not too far up the road, one, because I like to drive and it's like a pretty pretty drive. It's like hill country, and like the grass is a lot greener out there. It's cooler, and I just like the meat that they have. Like, it's good steak. So I've been there a ton of times, and they constantly have, like, they always have these deer and antelope and shit like that, like taxidermy, because part of the butcher shop is a taxidermy place as well. And just on a whim, like walking out the store, I was like, hey, do you guys sell deer meat? And he's like, well, we don't technically sell it, but if people don't pick up their kill that we process for them, we can sell what they left for the processing fee. And so immediately my ears go up, you know, I'm like, that sounds like I'm going to get a great deal if I'm not actually paying for the meat, I'm just paying for the processing. So he gives me all these slips. I got 140 pounds of deer meat for $200.
Straight, like I said, straight up Oregon Trail, carrying the shit back to your wagon.
And I was telling my daughter, my older daughter, on the way home, I was like, this is such an insane deal, because I didn't have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go hunting. I didn't have to buy a weapon to go hunting. I didn't have to buy bullets to go hunting. I didn't have to drag a 200-pound deer with his guts and head and shit out of the woods while I was hunting. I just had to drive my dumbass into this store and ask. And I was thinking, like, on the way home, like, because I'm not very good at math, I was like, that's pretty good. It's like 5 pounds of meat. When I actually got home and was thinking about it more, I was like, that's like 75 cents a pound. Because I, when I pulled out all the stuff that was actually in the boxes, it was like 15 little individual packets of ground beef. There was steak. There was like deer ham steak. There was sausage. There was chorizo. Like, all this stuff made. And I was just like, oh my God, man. Like, this is my dad Mount Everest. Like, I can't believe something so good would happen to me at this point in my life.
The next 10 to 15 Cooking with Chaps videos are going to be some sort of venison-based recipes.
Yeah, my wife was like, well, what do you want to eat for this week? Because we make like a meal plan. And if you're a parent and you're not making a meal plan, you're going to spend way more money. Like, make a meal plan so you know what you're going to eat every day. It helps you at the grocery store. You spend way less money than just wandering the aisles aimlessly and throwing shit in your cart. So we have, like, all this deer shit set up. And I think my wife was happy that I only spent 75 cents a pound. But at the same time, she's, like, knows that we're going to be eating deer, basically. Like, we're living in Alaska until fucking October.
In the
140
warm hot...
pounds of meat is a lot of meat.
That's a lot of... I had a buddy in college who ate nothing but cheddar cheese pretzel combos and Jack and Cokes for an entire month. And you were basically be doing that with venison and whiskey. Which is actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, I feel like I made out way more than the fucking Cheez-Its guy and Diet Coke.
Hey, have some respect for combos, all right? Have some respect for combos. This is all I'm asking, Chapsy.
I'm a big fan. My go-to snack while I'm working, by the way, is peanut butter stuffed pretzels.
Peanut butter stuffed pretzels is such an underrated... It doesn't get the... Every time someone comes over with a big one of those, like, jugs... They're getting hit hard. Yeah, the Costco jug. They're getting hit and they're getting hit hard. And it's one of those things you can't truly appreciate. Anything pretzel, a stuffed pretzel is just a good thing. It's just a great thing in life. If they could stuff broccoli and pretzels, I'd lose 30 pounds in a year. In a month. Not even a year. A month. Let's be a little crazy with it here.
There it is.
When it comes to protecting the ones you love, I'm sure we can all agree nothing is more important than their safety. I mean, I'm up here in the burbs, which, you know, they say is more safer than cities and stuff like that. People leave their doors unlocked and their windows open. But let's be honest, there's idiots everywhere you live, no matter what. So as a father, I got a wife, I got a kid. I worry about their safety, want to make sure that they're okay. And Simply Safe helps me protect them, so I know they're always safe. Each Simply Safe system is a security arsenal expertly engineered to protect each access point to your home. You can set up the system yourself in under an hour and save hundreds on installation fees. Simply Safe is designed that you can easily blanket your home in professional protection. 24/7 monitoring is just $14.99 a month. No hidden fees, no gotchas, that's it. I hate those hidden fees, by the way. Despise them. No long-term contracts. Simply Safe will never lock you in because they earn your business every single day. To find out why millions of Americans trust Simply Safe to protect their loved ones, go to simplysafe.com/barstool now. If you order today, you'll get an extra 10% off, plus a free keychain remote and free shipping. Go now to simplysafe.com/barstool. Again, that's simplysafe, S-I-M-P-L-I-S-A-F-E Patreon.com/barstool. Get the free keychain remote. Let's be honest. Keychain remotes, I kind of love them. I got a little keychain flashlight, so I'll throw the keychain remote next to that. Everybody's happy. SimplySafe.com/barstool. Bow, bump, bump.
All right, so let's move into a bedtime story. You got a bedtime story?
I do have a bedtime story. So we've talked about how Sienna has become kind of a Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. She's moved on to – we've hit the original trilogy about 1,000 times in the last month. We've now moved on to the new one, The Force Awakens. Haven't gotten into Rogue One yet. She's a big R2-D2 fan. There's no R2-D2 in Rogue One. She has now gotten to the point where when we go in the car, Moana – thanks to Uncle Chaps.
Did I nail Moana or did I not? I've gotten so many tweets and shit that you nailed the shit out of Moana. Moana's soundtrack is fucking fire.
Out of the park. Moana's in, like, I know it's not, I don't know if it's Mount Rushmore season or not. It might be in my Disney Mount Rushmore, which is not easy to crack, mind.
I'm saying, I think it's the best soundtrack since Lion King. And think about the soundtracks that have came out since Lion King. You're talking Beauty and the Beast. You're talking Aladdin. You're talking about Little Mermaid. Top to bottom, Moana fucking goes, dude.
I fucking love Moana. I love the movie. I love The Rock. I mean, if you don't like Moana, you don't like The Rock, and then what are you? So,
also, side note, not to interrupt you, but before I forget, have you seen the new Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, we have. We saw it. It was a big hit. It was much truer to the original than I thought it was going to, or to the cartoon than I thought it would be. And other than Chip, who I did not like, Chip is like one of the top five cutest cartoons ever. He did not translate good to real life, as did Cogsworth. Those are my two beefs, is that Cogsworth and Chip were not very good.
I got a big problem with Gaston.
You didn't think he was evil enough?
I didn't think that motherfucker don't eat 5 dozen eggs a day.
Yeah, that 100% agree with. I want Buff Cat to play Gaston.
Okay, this is what I want to play. Real life, on the fly. Didn't tell Clem we were going to talk about this before. Recast Gaston. Go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, on the spot.
You know who I want it to be?
Who?
I got the perfect person for it. Okay. He's not even an actor, and everyone would hate him. Dan Bilzerian, or whatever his name is. We have to shave his beard. Yeah, that dude can eat 5 dozen eggs in a day, and he would definitely be no good for Belle. He'd sleep around on her, and we'd all like hate him, and he'd be fucking Instagramming with other girls, and we'd be like, Belle, you're too good for him, and you know that whole thing. So Dan Blazarian's my pick.
You ready for mine?
I'm dying.
The Rock.
No, you cannot have The Rock be Gaston.
Yes,
Herodias.
Yes, The Rock would be perfect, dude, because he eats 5 dozen eggs. Have you seen his diet?
He
sings a little bit in Moana. He could get a little sing on. And unlike Emma Watson, who is a subpar singer for Belle, Gaston's voice isn't nearly as important his singing voice isn't nearly as important as the show as Emma Watson. Emma Watson wasn't a good enough singer to be Belle. The Rock is just a good enough singer to be Gaston. Even you could say that him not being a top-notch singer might even improve the quality of the character. The Rock should have been Gaston. Anna Kendrick should have been Belle. And the movie would have been absolutely perfect. Continue on with your bedtime story. Because there is no argument. I'm fucking right, 100%.
So Star Wars is now the first, going back to Star Wars, Moana. Okay. So Moana was the number one movie in the house. It knocked Toy Story from the throne. Star Wars, first thing she asks for in the morning, go in the car. She wants to hear Leia's song, which is the Star Wars theme. Then after that, she wants Dark of Vader song, which is Darth Vader's song. And then we run them back one more time, Leia to Darth Vader. And it's basically she cries when they're over, and she is now a diehard Star Wars fan, and she even sings along with the song, which I thought I had the video. I can't find it. I'll post it on the Podfather's account when this goes live. But my little daughter, on her own accord, without any being prompted, just starts going, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Like, it's like Robbie Fox trained her himself. It was awesome. It's awesome.
Anytime they love what you love, it's like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, that's the thing. When they love what you love and you don't even like pressure them, like,
yes,
you just, you know,
because what I said earlier, like whenever I'm talking about like outside shit, baseball shit, whatever, My older daughter doesn't do that. Like, she likes her own thing, which I can respect. Like, her, she's her own little person, and watching her develop into her own little human being is fucking great. But when they do love something that you really love, it's amazing. Like, you just, like, bond so fast. Like, that's what, like, music. I like Broadway shows. My older daughter likes it, so we fucking sing together back and forth when we're driving around, and that's fucking dope. My bedtime story is Kelsey was going to a spend the night party, like a birthday party, like close of the year party. And it was just, my wife was out of town, so it was just going to be me and McCartney for the night. And I had realized that she hadn't seen the school where she's going to go to pre-K next year, because she misses the kindergarten cutoff by like 2 months. So okay, she has to do pre-K, half day school, and then go to daycare the rest of the day, which kind of stinks. I think she's definitely smart enough to do kindergarten, and I want her to do it, but that's just the way the fucking cookie crumbles. So we are going by the school that she's going to go to, and before I say anything, like, I pull into the parking lot after we had dropped her sister off, and I was like, McCartney, look at that building. And she was like, that's a pretty big building. Like, just impressed at the size of it, because it's a pretty big school. And then she was like, what is that? I was like, that's Hoffman. She was like, oh my God. And I was like, that's where you're going to go to pre-K. And we constantly, my wife and I constantly do this thing. Like, if she's going to do something fun, like going to Disney World, we're like, are you sure you're cool enough to go to Disney World? She's like, yeah, I'm cool enough. I'm awesome. Like, she like gives you these adjectives about herself, like why she's good. I'm like, are you sure you're big enough to go to Hoffman? And then, like, because the school is so large, she was like, I don't know. She's just like, she's like, that seems pretty daunting. And it is. It's a huge school. Like, for an elementary school, there's like 1,400 students to go there. Like,
Jesus.
It's a pretty large place, because my area of San Antonio is booming. And she's just like, if I go there, I guess I need to have a backpack. And she's like, and I'm like looking in the rear view mirror and looking into her eyes, you could just see these thought process, like, just evolving. She's like, I need a backpack. I think I need like a science backpack, maybe with like planets on it. I don't know. She's just like, it's not concerning of like how she's going to get to class. It's like, she can do this if she has the right backpack. And
just
I just like recognize that as remembering back to when I was younger. If you thought you had the right shoes, you could jump through the moon. If you had the right clothes, you could go anywhere. And that, for McCartney, that's a backpack. And she was just ready to go with her fucking science backpack. And she wants to be a doctor because scientists are cool and women are scientists and women are awesome. That's what she always says.
Look good, feel good, play good. Deion Sanders, McCartney Chaps. That's all you need to know.
That's her daddy's favorite athlete of all time is primetime. So I think McCartney's pre-K is going to be fucking primetime.
Perfect.
It's definitely going to be primetime for the podcast. There's no doubt that I will be getting calls from the principal.
No
like,
doubt.
Weekly. Like, why is your daughter saying fuck cursive when she's in pre-K? Like, I don't know, man.
And this week's – and McCartney's Visit the Principal this week is brought to you by –
Yeah. So if you're an advertiser and you want to get it on McCartney's visits to the for the principal, just hit us up.
So I think the Weekend Boys did pretty well here, the Weekend Whiskey Boys. We're having a nice buzz, a nice little Saturday night ahead of us. Anything exciting planned?
My wife is taking my older daughter to the breaking of the fast of Ramadan. Like, we go to a church that tries to teach our kids about multiple religions, and I have done it in Iraq. Like, I've gone to the breaking of Ramadan there, so she's going to a feast with the local mosque, which should be pretty cool. Like, it's a good experience for kids to learn about different religions and different cultures, so they're doing that. Me and McCartney, on the other hand, are going to watch the 1982 version of Annie, which she's fucking stoked about, so we're going to watch that.
And he looks like me. That was the line.
Yep, and that's for Kelsey. So we're going to see how McCartney likes it, see if she gets down with Daddy Warbucks. McCartney doesn't give a fuck about the movie as long as there's popcorn, goldfish, and mini M&Ms available.
I was going to say, what kind of snacks are you doing? That sounds like the perfect time. You can bribe kids with anything as long as food is
as long as I hope the fucking ice cream truck goes by, then we'll get really good nuts. My wife's going to be like, why do you have eight different versions? I was like, well, that's because that's what me and Clem talked about, so now I got it on the brain.
And if, hey, good humor, if you're listening, or any other ice cream company, feel free to advertise with the podcast. We'll promote you guys just as much as more than the next guy.
Exactly. All right, Clemmy. Thanks, dude.
Have a good night, brother.